today, the Obama administration released new dietary guidelines, advice on what to eat. The guidelines are updated every 5 years based on the latest science and medical knowledge. And joining us now from Washington is Dr. Karen DeSalvo, Acting Assistant Secretary for Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And I want to just start by saying I'm assuming that most Americans are not going to be studying these guidelines very closely today. So if you want people to know three things about what's different in them than before, what would they be?
Well, you know, what most people don't know is that small shifts can make a big difference. So these guidelines are designed to give us a roadmap, a blueprint for how we can begin to make those small shifts. The second thing is for people to remember that this is about a healthy eating pattern across your lifespan, and it includes not just what you eat, but also what you drink. So again, what a lot of folks forget is that there are calories in the beverages we drink, but they're not always packed with nutrients. So be thoughtful about where all of our calories and nutrients are coming from. And really the third thing is that we want people to know that we all have an opportunity to be healthier if we lower our salt intake, if we lower our added sugar intake and lower our fat intake. That is a way that we can empower ourselves to prevent chronic disease.
And specifically, you're suggesting that Americans limit their sugar to no more than 10% of their daily calories.
Yes, that's correct. We are making a recommendation that overall everyone can reduce, but the limit ought to be 10% of total daily calories.
Which one can of Coke, you're done.
You know, and that's a great point about sugar-sweetened beverages, that you can make substitutions and put water there. And yes, you have made a very simple shift, a small shift that makes a big difference.
But I would also say that just a spoonful of ketchup would probably take you there, too.
Well, there are added sugars in a lot of foods. So processed foods, as an example, like ketchup, sauces, those are places where we need to be looking at the menu label and being thoughtful about where there's added sugars. It's also a good reminder for us that the more we can eat in and cook our own foods, that typically the healthier they are, lower in salt, lower in fat, lower in added sugars.
So if you would, give me a daily diet. What should be a good thing for people to eat from morning until night?
Generally, more fruits, whole fruits, more vegetables, so lean proteins of a variety. We want people to move towards whole grains and dairy products that are low fat. Within that, everybody's going to make choices that work within their culture, their tradition, their family expectations, their budget. So these are guidelines that are meant to give us a general expectation based on sort of the My Plate, those five things I mentioned. And then you work within that. And so, for example, if you're somebody who is feeding a family or if you're somebody who has diabetes, it's going to be a slightly different adjustment based upon your own personal needs and your own expectations for your family and for your community.
But do you worry about overwarning people, that when you tell people to limit their sugar to probably a lot less than many Americans actually have on a daily basis right now, that they may just ignore the guidelines altogether?
Look, you know, people want advice. I spent most of my career practicing medicine, and I always tell my patients when they ask me that there are guidelines and that they have to then apply them to themselves. I've really never had somebody not want to get some added information and advice. So this is a way that doctors can get additional information to work with their patients or nutritionists to work with their clients. And this is about empowering. This is a way that people can get the information that they want to follow some common sense that frankly a lot of us know, which is we ought to do more to eat vegetables and fruit, add that to our diets, and then that's going to give us a chance to take away some things that are linked to chronic disease like diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease.
There are questions, though, about how much influence the industry had on these guidelines. My colleague Allison Aubrey at NPR is reporting that there was an advisory committee that had suggested that Americans cut back more on red and processed meats, but that the meat industry didn't like that, and the final guidelines do not include any specific advice to cut back on those sources of protein.
Jeremy, since 1980, the Congress has asked the HHS and USDA to regularly review the science. So we look at the best available science over a multi-year cycle. We pull together experts in the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. That process is very public, and there's an opportunity for the American public to weigh in along the way. And then we take those recommendations from the committee, and our best scientists look at them and look at the available evidence, and we make recommendations based upon the best available evidence, the preponderance of the evidence that's out there. The guidelines on meat carry forward from what we recommended in 2010. It's the same recommendation that lean meats are a part of a healthy eating pattern, and we haven't made any adjustments there.
And not because the industry didn't like the adjustments that were suggested.
It is based upon the preponderance of the evidence.
That's Dr. Karen DeSalvo, Acting Assistant Secretary for Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. We'll link you to the new guidelines at our website, hereandnow.org. Dr. DeSalvo, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.